Let me take a moment and talk about Riverside.fm. It allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video. When you need to record audio and video, Riverside.fm can do it. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to any video content, Riverside.fm. I've got a promo code for you where you'll receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. I'll give it to you twice. The promo code is SHIPIT. All one word, ship it, and you'll pick up a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. Riverside.fm.
Welcome back to the draft room, shipheads. It's your boy, Mr. Zach. I've got Steve the Elf with me today, and you know what that means. We've got some more Sopranos content coming at you. Steve and I, we have done recent take five to get into the Sopranos spirit. We're pumped up for The Many Saints of Newark coming out in the fall. Hopefully, no more delays. And so we did a take five already on the best Sopranos characters. We've got another one coming on the take five side of the best Sopranos individual episodes. So definitely scoot over to the Ship It Studios take five channel if you're interested in more Sopranos stuff. But today we're giving the Sopranos the fantasy draft treatment. So Steve, right off the bat, let me just ask you, are we on the precipice of an enormous crossroad?
Absolutely we are. Whenever the Sopranos are involved, you can bet there is a precipice and there is an enormous crossroads.
We know that for a fact. So we want to just keep some more Sopranos content going as we're getting into closer to Many Saints of Newark. We've been revisiting the show lately and it's been a lot of fun. So we thought a fantasy draft would be really fun to do for the Sopranos. And the goal for this one, what we're trying to accomplish, is we're going to draft your ideal crime family. So like in the show, you got your DeMeo crime family, the Lupertazzi crime family. So we've got a basic structure of that family, the power structure, all those players involved. And we're going to be drafting all those characters from The Sopranos, not one of those ones where we're drafting outside of the specific show. Although at some point, I think we definitely got to do some kind of fantasy draft of just including all mob movies and mediums. I know, Steve, you'll definitely be in for that one. But
yes, where do I sign up for that one?
You're already pre-registered.
Oh, dope. Love to hear that.
You already put that in when you interviewed here. Yes. You're already in that. So today we're keeping it to just the Sopranos families and the roster spots we've got laid out here. Obviously, you have a boss at the top. Who do you want leading your crime family? Someone who has been a boss in the show. So there's pretty limited characters for that. But as long as they've been boss at some point, you can throw them in there. After the boss, you've got your two capos, your captain spots. So the guys who are right under the boss, who are kind of the upper management, who are going to be leading your smaller crews, who are the guys who do you trust to lead some of your big money-making operations, whether it's an underground casino, a big construction job. So who do you want in those leadership roles? We've got two of those. And then we've got two soldiers, the guys who do more of the dirty work, doing a lot of the bloody stuff, getting their hands dirty, grunt work. You need tough soldiers, right? So we've got two spots for that. And then we've got one associate. So those characters in the show, when somebody's making an introduction and they say, oh, this is a friend of ours. So somebody who's not necessarily part of the family, not a made guy. So it kind of gives you some freedom of all those characters who fall in that category. If you want someone who can help the family in another way, it's not just directly doing jobs for you, whatever. It could be financial help, could be help with making connections with other families, with other resources, with the law, whatever it may be. So you get a little creative freedom with one associate character. And the seventh and final roster spot is going to be a family member. And not talking about like the crime family member. We're talking about drafting a spouse or a child for your boss. Because after all, The Sopranos, it's about family relationships. And Steve already asked me, I think before, you know, could I draft Christopher in my family member spot? And normally we love, you know, loopholes and thinking outside the box to try to get a really good character in like creatively into a slot. But that would kind of defeat the purpose here, because such a big part of the show is how the other characters interact with the people in their lives who aren't directly involved with the crime. So in that spot, do you want a spouse who is completely oblivious to all the crime and who just maybe gives you support and gives you a life outside of crime? You need a break from that kind of thing. Or is it somebody who's more ride or die, and maybe they're not directly involved with the crime, but they know what's going on and they can help out. They're aware of what's going on. Maybe that helps you protect your family. A lot to consider with that too, and a lot of fun. So Steve, do you have any initial thoughts as you're looking at our big board and the spots that we've got drafted up that we're going to pick here?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it goes in line with The Sopranos that I tried to find a loophole.
That's
true. Think I would like to think that they would be proud of me for trying to game the system. And so while I will not be Tony and break the rules, I would like to think that if he were drafting with us right here, he would have also asked that question about Christopher. So I'm just trying to honor them. And, you know, that's my defense of that. And I hope for the people listening out there, you remember that I'm a true Sopranos, you know, it's a meta thing of me to do maybe, but I tried to find a loophole just like they would.
You know, maybe you can get a little more creative even. I'm just making you think a little harder. Maybe there are other ways that you can, because I haven't thought of any other loopholes yet with this. So maybe you'll find one.
Yeah. Well, look, to paraphrase another one of our favorite cultural touchstones, you know, this isn't NOM. There are rules, Smokey. So, you know.
There have to be a few rules, right?
Yeah.
Even with the mafia, there are some rules. There is some honor, right?
Yeah. There's got to be a code of honor at some point, right?
Yeah, or else it's just chaos.
Yeah.
So the order of this, Steve, our resident Sopranos super fan and guru, drew the number one pick. So, and in these two-person drafts, just standard snake order. So Steve will pick once, I'll pick twice, Steve picked twice, I picked twice. So making that pick in that round and starting the second round, and we'll go that way until we fill out our seven person rosters, and we'll see who came out with the best crime family, or leave it up to the fans to decide. So Steve, whenever you're ready, put in your number one pick.
Okay. I have to just take Little Carmine.
I saw that coming a mile away. That was leaked in the press weeks ago. Steve was very high on Little Carmine, always has been.
Just keep hearing rumblings of like a great pre-draft interview with Little Carmine and I.
He gives a great interview.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He could sweet talk you for sure.
Yeah. So unfortunately, and my apologies to Little Carmine, I was definitely thinking to the point of overthinking. As my high school basketball coach would say, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And I like to say in therapy, KIS, just keep it simple and not call anybody stupid. Tony, the boss of my crime family.
Pretty obvious pick. So definitely one of the top bosses from the show. We spend the most time with him, so we know a lot about this guy. And maybe that's to his detriment. There's a little too much news out there about him. We know about Tony's health concerns. So that was something I thought about. If who would I take with the top spot? Is he going to have a panic attack at the wrong moment? Is the stress going to get to be too much for him? Is all of his family issues with his wife, relationship with his kids, rest of his family breaking apart, is that going to ruin him? So I did have some concerns for Tony, definitely, as the number one pick.
That's some bad press about Tony. It's like you're planting seeds to try and like trade him for like a Tony and a second round pick or something.
Yeah, I heard he's got this bad condition. Yeah. You better unload him now. Yeah, while you can.
Yeah, I'll trade you Tony for little Carmine straight up, I suppose. No, but I do think as much as everything you just said has to be factored in, and I guess if little Carmine's father was here, he would also say that Tony wears shorts and the Don doesn't wear shorts. But he happened to be right about the vast majority of things. They absolutely got things wrong, and David Chase, the creator, left some things sort of out, like up in the air, I guess. Like, we don't totally know that Jimmy was a rat. We don't totally know that Richie killed Paiomai. We don't totally know those things. So, of course, there are gigantic errors, but I think that when you look at the sum of the show and what we're dealing with, almost every decision he made was right in that context, in the context of him being a mafia boss, including that he won the war against New York. And so I think that that has to be factored in, and that he did outsmart our dear friend, Frank Vincent. And I just rewatched Goodfellas, so I keep just wanting to refer to him as Billy Batts and asking you if you feel strong now. But I am going to resist that temptation. But obviously, you know, he outsmarted Phil Leotardo after Phil killed. I mean, he started down really 3-0 because they killed the wrong Phil. Silvio got killed. Bobby got killed. I mean, he LeBron James it. He came back from like a 3-1 deficit. And so I think that has to be factored in. And Junior in the first season with killing Mikey Palmisi. And, you know, I just think that when it came down to it, he gambled. He had a difficult home life. He may have tried to kill his own mother. His mother may have tried to kill him, but he still really did that job in a great, brilliant way in a lot of the show.
Don't let this distract you from the fact that Phil Leotardo blew a 3-1 lead.
That should be the title of the podcast.
That would be a good tagline. Yeah, Tony does get the upper hand a lot of the time. You're definitely right about that. It's a pretty impressive resume when you can have those stats back it up, winning the war against New York. I got pretty intense at the end. Even like stuff with Junior kind of always having the upper hand and manipulating him a little bit when he was trying to putting Junior in place and having this plan and to on his ascension eventually to the very top. So he does get a lot of things right. He does get it kind of right in the end and comes out on top a lot. There are a lot of flaws, as I pointed out, with the health and in his relationships. Maybe that's just because we spend the most time with him. We do see flaws with, I mean, pretty much every character in the show, right? But for number one pick, I guess you can't go too wrong with Tony.
You haven't convinced me to trade him for a pick to be named later.
Well, yeah, right. I haven't assembled a team yet that I'm going to trade you for Tony. I'm going to put together a nice package. Hey, I don't think you'll be able to resist.
He didn't have the makings of a varsity athlete, but he did have the makings of a damn good mob boss. So we'll take it. If it's a varsity basketball team, even though the real Tony, James Gandolfini, did play varsity basketball. So shout out to him. Rest in peace, my childhood hero. But, you know, that we are not drafting for.
Yeah, I mean, if he couldn't be a varsity athlete, how can he run a crime family?
Proof that you don't have to be an exceptional athlete to be a great mafia don. Which, now that I think about it, I wasn't a great varsity athlete. I wonder if I could be a good mob boss. I guess we probably won't find out, but maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, you never know how you might get dragged in.
Yeah.
Pulled back in.
Yeah.
So I'm up now to make my first round pick, and then I get to start the second round. So I get two guys here to be the foundation of my team. And since Steve took his one boss, you only get one boss in this draft. So I feel like I can wait to take a boss now. There's a few boss characters who I think I'll be able to take and who I'll be okay with there. So I'm going to start with one of my personal favorite characters. Was definitely high on my personal list when we talked about our take five favorite characters from the show, best characters from the show. I just want somebody who can get the job done, kind of like you were, the qualities you talked about, Tony, being able to come out on top. And one guy who I think struck fear better than anybody, who did his job, you know, just put his nose down and just grinded and got things done, was really well respected and didn't have many flaws as a lot of the other characters. I'm taking Furio to be my top soldier. It's, you know, you say wars are won by soldiers, and I've got the best soldier on the ground with Furio. If I need to shake somebody down for some money that they owe me, Furio is the number one guy to get that done. And not just that he is a badass and intimidates everybody, he'll come out on top in any fight. I would put him against any character on the show. I'm taking Furio all day, every day. But he also seems like a really cool guy to just hang out with. Like, he has this switch, it seems, where he's a pretty mellow, he can be a mellow, like, normal guy for a guy who's so good and willing to kill people, to hurt people, that he's so good, like, hanging out with Tony's kids, hanging out with, I would just love to have him in my crew as somebody to hang out with. I think it's an interesting dynamic that he has both sides, that for, he's not just a guy who's going to be scary to be around because he does do all these horrible things and he's good at them, but he's also a cool human being too.
That's a really great pick. I don't think that's the obvious second overall pick until you just explained it in that way. And I think that's also helpful for the audience, that sometimes we think about this in like the individual matchup almost, in that I think that, you know, leaving like guns or bats or knives or anything out of it, like in an actual like fist fight, I'm not sure who you would take over Furia, let alone if you put those things in. So I hate to give credit to my nemesis in this moment, but that's a really great pick.
You got to keep it real sometimes, you know, because then you'll lose credibility.
I guess that's me paying you $1,000.
Give me $1,000.
Can we get Leo Brancato to come in and be like, you know, you're breaking my balls over a G note?
And that's all it took. Like, he just stands there with a stoic face sometimes and just says that. That's all he has to do. He doesn't always have to break fingers or, you know, cause a scene, make things bloody. He just has that presence about him. He can get things done. I don't remember not coming out on top in any kind of fight or situation where he had to get something done. He had to get something from someone. I guess the only potential knock is, you know, what happened when he fell for Carmella. But Tony's on your side, so if anything, I think that's going to benefit me. In this scenario, maybe Carmella won't be on your side, but hey, I've got Furio who could woo her if Tony was with Carmella in this situation. So I think that ends up helping my crime family a lot.
Oh, man, when he's about to push him into the helicopter and he's like, you're too close. You're too, I remember watching that as a kid, not really understanding like, yeah, the Sopranos, the main character, isn't going to die in like season 4. I remember being like, oh shit. Just another great subversion by David Chase, by the way. Only he and probably David Simon would have had a conclusion that was that much of subverted our expectations, where there was no bloody feud. Furio doesn't get killed. He just literally doesn't show up for work one day. I mean, that's just brilliant stuff. But yes, obviously Furio, that is a really great pick. And I guess we'll have to see who winds up with the first lady of New Jersey crime.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be my next pick. I've got somebody else in mind here. So now I've got my top soldier. Again, I'm still going to wait on my boss. So I'm going to take my top captain here, my capo. And another personal favorite character of mine, and a lot of those same qualities that we've been talking about with these first two characters, somebody who I think throughout the show, if you look at their track record, has a really good record of getting the job done, not having many mishaps. So I'm taking Silvio Dante. He just kind of runs the bada bing. He does other stuff too. It seems like he's got one of the best gigs and he just runs it to perfection, essentially. He's always bringing in money. I don't see too many major flaws with his character. He's really well respected, really well liked among all the other characters. Another guy who I would love to hang out with. I love just stacking my team at the top with Silvio and Furio. I think they have a really good dynamic in my leadership and in my ranks here.
This is a tough moment for me.
You're a big Silvio guy.
I'm a big Silvio guy, and I'm just not in a good place right now. And this whole draft is making me reconsider a lot of things. Silvio is my second favorite character, and I feel like you're Michael, the end of Godfather 1, and you're settling all Corleone family business. And all kidding aside, like, Silvio makes so many of the right moves. He got floated for the big seat when Tony gets shot by Junior. I think this is right before the test dream, or it's in the test dream episode where he tells his wife, you know, when Jackie was getting really sick, they floated me for the big seat instead of Tony. You know, that's a really great pick again on your part. And he does one hell of a Godfather Part 3. Well, and 1 and 2 all in one perfect impression. But
yeah, just Pacino impressions in general. Yeah. Again, a guy you love to have around.
Now, you know, here's one cool piece of trivia. When he's doing that, and I may have done this in the other episode, so if you're hearing this story twice, it's just as good, and I'm going to tell it again. When he is saying, our true enemy has yet to reveal himself, and sorry, Mom, but Big Puss has just come back. When he says, our true enemy has yet to reveal himself, the camera goes right to Puss.
I remember that from the other episode and I forgot about it. So I'm glad you brought it up again, because that is really cool.
I've got like four or five bits that just repeat.
Hey, you got to just replay the hits. All right. So you're upset about me taking Silvio. So I'm curious about how you're going to counter that now.
I'm quitting.
That's one way to do it.
That's the mature thing to do. So I was thinking about so much of these, quite frankly, like this anti-hero, the peak television is about lonely men, lonely white men, unfortunately, but that's a song for another time. And I was trying to think of, in an ideal world, who could Tony trust? Who could Tony go to unequivocally and say, like, what do you think I should do here? I'm lost. I need advice. I need support. And at first, my first instinct was Junior. And then I realized that really wasn't their relationship. As much as I think Tony wanted it to be, and I don't think his father was alive to see Tony long enough for that to be a relationship. So I threw a bit of a curveball, and I chose one of my favorite characters, Jackie Aprile Sr., not to be confused with Jackie Jr., who bottomed out. Although I still believe they shouldn't have killed him, but that's a song for another time. They didn't need to kill him, but whatever. That's just Ralph being Ralph, I suppose. So I went with Jackie Sr., played by Michael Rispoli, who is just an awesome character actor. And if you haven't seen him in Rounders, you really, really should. He is in, I think, was like one of the closest runners up to James Gandolfini. And I think that when you see Jackie in those, really probably like the first two episodes, I don't know. It's not hard for me to picture that. And I love James Gandolfini. He's one of my favorite actors of all time. But when you see him, you say, wow, you know what? Like, he probably could have done it. It's probably 3 seasons and not 8. But, you know, I thought he did a nice job. And he's just been in some great stuff. Spike Lee has used him a number of times. But I would really recommend him in Rounders. I just think that's one of his best performances. And so I went with Jackie Jr. I just feel like he would have been the boss for as long as he would have lived, except for that, you know, he tragically got cancer and passed away. He was also I'm reminded of this now, he's in Leaving Las Vegas. So just a great character actor who had a great role. And his character name in Rounders, in case you're curious, is Grandma. So, I mean, that's just awesome. So I went with Jackie Sr.
Grandma in Rounders is a great character. And it's really different from this one. It's almost hard to picture just the actor, like separate him from that, because it is kind of an outrageous character, but I love it. So yeah, definitely Rounders, great movie. That's a great character. But now that's a pretty good counterpunch by you. I have to give it to you, because I talked about waiting on a boss. Maybe I shouldn't have, because Jackie Senior is one of the, obviously, you know, you, all the reasons you said, one of the best bosses, and you're taking him to be a capo. Kind of, that's kind of like almost like a loophole, because, well, obviously Jackie was in both roles throughout the show, so I guess you can do that. But I was definitely considering Jackie to be my boss of my crime family, so I'm a little upset about that. I wasn't sure if you would go that route, but definitely have to respect that pick. It's too bad Jackie wasn't around for longer, but maybe you've got another big health scare on your roster. You just got the injury bug everywhere on your roster. Tony with his stuff, Jackie with his health issues. I don't know if your team is going to be able to stay on the field. That's my only concern, but I have to say I'm upset that you're taking Jackie there and Tony.
I'm not worried about their health. Jackie's got a great doctor. Tony will be in therapy. He'll be kind to himself. He won't take the little magazine's page out of Melfi's magazine. We'll be all good.
Of course not.
All right. So here is my other thought. And this is actually a character who, this is the one thing, this is, I don't know, it's probably, there's like three or four things throughout the show I wish they had done an alternate take on just for the fun of it. And I think that this is probably one of the three or four smartest characters in the show, and maybe most, and one of the most vicious. And I wanted to build a team of people that would challenge Tony, because I think that Tony needs that. I think that the family, while structured, is very important. I think that you want to surround yourself with the smartest people. And Tony, being the World War II person that he is, I felt like you want, if you're the general, you want the smartest people around you. So I went with Johnny Sack, the King of New York, for a very brief period of time. And so the reason I say this is something I wish they had done differently is I believe in the season four finale. It might have been, yeah, I believe it was season four. I'm going to fact check that. They finally make amends after all of their near fighting. You think at one point they're going to damn near kill each other. They meet, and I remember they were on the phone. I won't do the accent because I can't. Johnny says, you know, like, basically come to my house. And Tony's like, wait, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, do you think I'm going to kill you with Ginny upstairs? And he says like an Italian word for that, which I'm not going to disrespect anybody by trying to, you know, even begin to pronounce. But I do think it's important to think, like, what would it be like if they had worked together for all of those years? And so I am wrong. I apologize. Season five is when the last episode of season five is when they meet at Johnny's house. And literally, as they say, hey, why don't you come have a cup of coffee? The FBI raids Phil's house. And that's sort of the last we see of Phil in power. It makes me think, like, man, what if Tony and Johnny, New York and Jersey, really could have gone on a run together and not fighting? Like, what would that have looked like? So that is why I went with Johnny Sack.
Well, first of all, Steve, you don't ever have to apologize when you're dropping these crazy trivia bombs. If you just say everything else confidently, we'll all just believe you, everything you say. So don't worry about the fact checking. But these back-to-back picks by you are, I think, pretty smart, because you just took two guys who were bosses and you made them your captains. So those are two guys who I can't take as my boss now. So I am a little on tilt now as a result. But I like what you said, Tony will excel if he's challenged. So you're not just going to surround him with a bunch of yes men, which is kind of a, you know, another big point. At one point in the series, they make a big deal. Tony's getting annoyed with all the people around him who just laugh at his jokes, and he doesn't think that they're sincere. That starts to really bug Tony, clearly. So I do like that you're approaching it from that angle. Johnny and Tony do have a really good working relationship for a stretch there. I like your take on kind of an alternate branch in the Sopranos timeline, what that could have looked like. Maybe that's a whole other podcast, but I'm just kind of a little beside myself now that you, with your first three picks, you took three bosses. So I should not have said anything about waiting on a boss because you just took all the top bosses. And you know what? You know what happens? You know what happens, Steve? When you know I need a boss and you take all the bosses to be your captains?
I don't think I like where this is headed.
You're not going to. Because I happen to know, as a result of our last time we talked about The Sopranos on the Ship podcast, you talked about how much you had a crush on Meadow when you first were watching the show.
Oh, now just think before you act. That's all I'm going to say. There are lines. That's all I'm going to say.
Is that a threat, Steve?
I think it is. Yeah. It is.
Our crime families are already butting heads and they're not even fully formed yet. I love it. So I am taking my family member here, my family member spot, little unconventional spot this early in the draft, but I have to do it. I have to pivot this way because of your actions, Steve. I'm taking Meadow to be my family member. When we talked about Meadow on the Characters podcast, we talked about Meadow kind of being the moral compass in a lot of ways to Tony. I love how she's able to butt heads with him. They disagree, obviously, on a lot, but she still finds a way to support him. She still loves him. She still, you know, goes to bat for her dad, for her family. And I love that quality about her. And she can disagree with people and still do that for them and still feel that way. So when I'm thinking about this family member spot, I do want somebody who it's not someone who's going to be involved in the crime, who's going to know a lot about the crime, but she's not stupid. She's really smart, actually. She knows what goes on, and she can kind of help you a little bit, be that outside voice, be an escape sometimes, and help kind of maybe guide you a completely different kind of voice from everybody else who you're interacting with. So I think Meadow will bring a really positive presence to this family. And Steve is going to leave now.
So let me just say one thing. Laura, if you're listening to this, number one, hi, I hope you're enjoying your drive. But boy, when I was 15, 16, up until I met Laura pretty much, Meadow is number one for me. And this hurts. It feels personal.
It is personal. You can believe that.
I feel like I'm Mikey Palmese at the end and I'm like laying down in the river and you're Christopher and Polly at the same time. And I'm like, you don't have to do this and you do it anyway. But I have to respect, similar to the beginning of the pod when I said they would respect my rule breaking, they would also respect your ruthless revenge. And so I have to own this, but it doesn't mean that I like it. And I feel like you have to do things with honor. And, you know, this is a tough one for me.
We have it on the record that you don't like it. Steve does not approve of me drafting Meadow. But I kind of feel like you brought this upon yourself. You knew there would be repercussions.
Action and consequence.
That's right. This is one of those great crossroads.
That little karma. Now I'm Jackie Jr. in the bathroom and you just beat me up and you're like, you bottomed out. Man, that's a bummer.
Exactly. Well, I've got another pick here. This is starting the fourth round now. And so now I've got a good spread here. I'm just going to look to take the best characters at this point. I'm not thinking too much about position now because we've seen how Steve conducts himself and he'll take whoever and put them in these spots. So I have to just take the best of it. I can't think about what Steve has done and doesn't have it, what he may or may not take. Everything's on the table, apparently. So I am taking my second capo and I'm taking Bobby Bacala, a fan favorite character for sure. And I think somebody who I like that he has really humble beginnings. in the show, in his role in the crime family. He's starts as Junior's driver. He's kind of running smaller errands, but quickly Bobby shows initiative. He proves himself time and time again, and he quickly rises up, especially in Tony's eyes, all so much so that he eventually becomes kind of the seemingly the favorite in the clubhouse to be Tony's new kind of heir apparent when Christopher falls out of favor. So I think that Bobby can get a lot done for me. He's not always really super ruthless, anything like that. Maybe what you would always consider when you think about a typical high-end mob guy. But I think that can be good in a way. I think that Bobby has maybe some more morals. Maybe he's a little more sensitive, a little more lighthearted. I kind of like that. And I like his initiative that he shows and how he comes from the bottom and he shows he can work all the way up to the top. And I don't think he'll take anything for granted. He'll work hard, he'll earn. And another guy I'd love to hang out with and build some model trains with.
All I'll say is Quasimodo predicted all of this. That's a great pick. I love Bobby.
Well, thank you. I knew you it was a good chance you were probably going to draft him for something. So I had to scoop him up there.
Yeah, he was actually probably pretty close to, I don't know, I might have taken him in this. I was actually looking at Meadow in this like early, like I guess we're in the middle. Like that was my initial thought, but then someone else drafted her, so I couldn't do that.
Someone else did.
So I guess in a move that I guess maybe Freud would be proud of, I am going to take Carmella. So here's my thought. She is not in the mafia, but she grew up around it. And Tony, at one point, while they're fighting in white caps, says, like, you knew the deal. You grew up around Dickie Moltisanti. One thing the show does, it's they sort of like, they either make it very important or they don't mention it for like a season at a time, is that Chris is the nephew of Tony on Carmella's side. So it's like, that's just like a quite interesting family dynamic. And they don't make a big deal about that. Carmella is a true partner for Tony in many ways. And I think she also shows some ferociousness.
I certainly wouldn't mess with her. I can tell you that much.
No.
Makes a great ZD.
Oh, that ZD does look good. Not better than Rosalia Priels, I can tell you that much.
Oh, definitely. You know it is.
I can't imagine she's going to get picked here. I do love some Rosalia Priel, but I can't imagine she makes the cut here. I could be surprised, though. No spoilers.
Yeah, maybe she's on my board. You don't know.
That's true.
As my second soldier.
She's a killer, too, though, just by the way. I'm pretty... To date Ralphie, I mean, you got to be a little
right.
bit... That, I'm sorry. Let me not be a social worker for a second. That's not normal. Next pick. I actually... I'm sort of going back and forth between two very old school people. And the reason I'm going to go with Paulie is there's something to be said for 60 years of loyalty. And Tony Sirico, who it's actually fascinating, he is in the first 20 minutes of Goodfellas, actually does his trademark, his index finger and his pinky and makes a fist, does that like hand motion. He does that in Goodfellas. And he... and Tootie get in a fight in the beginning of Goodfellas, and he's making the Paulie hand gestures. It's the most amazing thing ever. But in all seriousness, Paulie's wiser than we give him credit for, because he's very weird and he's eccentric. He probably didn't have the life that he thought he was going to have. He's very alone. He doesn't get pushed up to... He's basically middle management for the majority of his life until... really the ending of the show when he finally gets like that big bump up because everybody else died. And this is not, you know, the most, I guess for the purposes of this, he's a killer and he'll kill for Tony and he would do whatever it took to kill for Tony. He's loyal. I mean, I wonder if the many saints of Newark will deal with this, but he was probably at certain points like a big brother. There's something to be said for that when you're looking for the role that we're putting him in, which is as a soldier. It's not glamorous. It is like, hey, you have to go kill this guy. You have to go to the middle of the New Jersey, like, forest, Pine Barren. You have to go to the Pine Barrens. I mean, that's not, you don't see Tony or Johnny Sack out there.
I was definitely a little torn with making, with taking Paul, Bobby as my second capo or Pauly. I liked Pauly a lot early in the show, but I, how much of a hothead he is, and he has some weird little idiosyncrasies that he's just, sometimes he's a bit much for me. And I think that that's good that you're taking him for being a killer and stuff. I've got Furio for that. So I think I'm good on just ruthless killers. I didn't need Pauly also. I think that would have been a little too combustible for my team. So I think that's a better fit for your squad.
Fair.
Now, we are in the fifth round now. I'm making the second pick of a fifth round, and then I'll go with the sixth round. A few spots left, and I'm going to be the first one out of us to take an associate, a friend of ours. And I'm just going with someone who is another one of my personal favorite characters of the show. He provides a lot of financial assistance. He has a lot of connections. He's been around forever, been involved with a lot of people. So I'm taking Hesh. Hesh gives Tony a lot of sage advice, literally gives him money. Hesh is full of money. He's kind of involved in some things a little sparingly, but not, you know, directly involved. Not Italian, so I guess that's just not a possibility. Otherwise, he probably would be. But Hesh is another good guy to just have around. He's been around for so long and knows so much about this world, knows a lot about people, knows a lot of different people. So making connections, whether it's different crime families, different industries that you're maybe trying to get into, with different schemes you're trying to hatch up. The music industry, what can we do with that? That Hesh is involved in putting all these smash records. So I love having Hesh around my crew.
Hesh is a genius. Hesh being the only Jewish character, I'm automatically like, oh yeah, that's cool. And yeah, Hesh is, I will say this, I think Hesh is involved, other than probably Bobby and Silvio dying, the saddest thing to me in the show was when he loaned Tony something to the effect of like $300,000. And it was right in the middle of when Tony's gambling was being examined in episodes like Chasing It. And he and Hesh have a falling out over money. And that was really hard because that was a mentor that Tony lost over that. And rightfully so, because Hesh was a pain in the ass about it. And he really shouldn't have been. And that was a really sad, like, emotional moment where he had so trusted Hesh and felt so hurt and betrayed by that. I think that was one of those moments that separates The Sopranos than a lot of shows, is that, like, we saw Christopher cry on the way back from Uncle Pat's farm, but we also saw Tony get his feelings hurt and his vulnerability. And so Hesh played a big role in that. And that was really sad. That was shitty. Probably realistic in that those guys are all, Tony's not generous with his money either. And you got to pay the vig, so to speak. But like, that does suck that that was a mentor that Tony lost.
So you think Hesh is the one being a dick, not Tony, for not paying back all this money? And so Hesh has got to keep asking him.
So I think in a certain way, when you're dealing with people who are antisocial, of course, like, they're both dicks, to put it eloquently. I just think that we see so much of it from Tony's point of view that we as the viewer naturally identify with him. And I do happen to think Hesh could have let a few things go after all those years. And it just colored Hesh in a different way for Tony. And Tony is our POV. I mean, depending on how you interpret the death scene, the ending scene, which David Chase has called the death scene, he's literally our point of view. And so, yeah, I do think that that was a bummer, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah. Well, now when Tony gets in gambling trouble, you're not going to have Hesh to bail him out. So what's Tony going to do then?
It's another question.
I'm just picking apart your team one by one. All right. So I've got my next pick here. This is starting the sixth round. So we're getting to the end of it. And I've got to take my boss or my second soldier. I'm going with my second soldier here. I'm going with Tony B, Tony Blundetto, because I think it's a little thunder and lightning situation with Tony B and Furio, where Furio is the hard hitting. He's the fist, great fighter, or just intimidator. Tony B is mentioned on the show as having a genius level IQ. This guy's really smart. He's really successful when he does come back and he does eventually get back involved. He starts running the casino a little bit. He's doing a really good job of it. So I don't think I need another soldier as a grunt work guy of chasing down people for money. I think Tony B, this role is perfect for him as he's starting off back into this crime world. I want his brain in here. So I think between Furio and Tony B, I've got a pretty interesting dynamic with my soldiers.
Tony Uncle Al and Tony Uncle Johnny. Just fascinating with Tony B. Bringing him into the fold, I think. Steve Buscemi, first of all, directed a whole bunch of episodes. I think Steve Buscemi is one of our most underappreciated actors by the movie community. I think that man is a genius. Why do I have to be Mr. Pink? But their dynamic is tragic in itself, and it's fascinating. And it's another example of the vulnerabilities of Tony and Christopher, because Tony and Tony are the ones who make Christopher cry going back from Uncle Pat's farm. And it's just it's a great insight into the vulnerabilities of both Tonys. And there are some great moments of Tony B at Tony Soprano's house and thinking like, man, if I didn't go away, would this have been me? And then, of course, him, I think they referred to it as him going crazy after Angelo because they were close in the can. And shooting and really starting the war with New York and leading to the great little Carmine scenes, of course. But yeah,
of course.
So, I mean, to pick apart your team a little bit, Tony B, not always wanting to be in the business, so to speak. So, you know, just saying, just something to think about, dear listener, you know.
Well, that's fair. That's why we're starting him off small as a soldier. I think he'll enjoy that. That's why I'm not relying on him to be a captain or anything right away. I think he did enjoy running the casino when he started doing that. And then he kind of got himself into a little trouble. But I just like having Tony's brain around. And again, when we're all just hanging out, give everybody some massages. Work those kinks out. That's going to be important. Stay limber on the battlefield.
I'll buy that.
That's really why I picked him.
You just wanted a massage?
Yeah, I really need one.
That's fair. Tony B can give you one.
He knows what he's doing. Licensed and everything.
He's got his own
So
team.
Back over to Steve. Steve, you're making your two final picks here. So I'm interested to see how you're going to finish out your team.
So I think that this is an important one to talk about for a second, because I think it's one of the most interesting things that they did in this entire history of Peak TV. And so I'm going to pick Vito. And at this time, dealing with this group of men in this hyper-masculine world, to make Vito a part of the LGBT community, and for Tony to be progressive and say, hey, look, he's not the first. And Paulie can't take it. Paulie says, you know, like horrible words. He can't do it. But Tony says, hey, are you going to take care of his family when you're gone? But are you also as good a worker? And then he also says the most, it's so true. He's not the first person. There was somebody in Johnny Boy's crew that was in the closet, so to speak. And I think to have that character and to have the Johnny Cakes episode, maybe that's not everybody's favorite episode of The Sopranos, but when he's writing, you know, I think it's extremely important how that character was dealt with. And for our intents and purposes, he was a great earner. who just made money right away. And it's, of course, it's interesting. And you and I were speaking about this off camera, of course, but he was also in a great Goodfellas homage with Christopher, where now Christopher shoots the guy in the foot. And so he shoots the character that he shoots Vito in the foot in a random season two episode. And that's a nice callback to Christopher as Spider getting shot in the foot by Tommy. You know, like, that is a fascinating thing that he made so much money. And then when you're in a mafia family, at the end of the day, Pauly, his big thing is he's a bruiser. He'll fuck people up. He's not the money guy. Like, he has the book, but Vito at the end of the day has got all that construction. So you need money. So that is my 12th pick. And so for my final pick, this is the associate. This is a curveball, but I'm going to go everybody's favorite FBI agent. Not Danielle, Agent Harris and Tony have a mutual respect. They always did. And even if you look back to when they first search his house very early in season one and the guy breaks that plate and then he says like, oh, I'm Agent Romano or something. And Tony says something like very disrespectful to the FBI agent. And then the FBI agent is like, your ass. And then Agent Harris is the one who steps right in. I think this might even be, I don't think this is five episodes in. And I think that that's a really crucial thing to know, that they always had respect for each other. And when they played those tapes for Tony at the end of season one, don't think it was in I Dream of Jeannie Cusimano. It could have been. But, and Tony says that thing about, oh, the Springsteen box set. I already have that. Agent Harris is always respectful. And in the end, he gives up Phil's location. And this is the cool part. When they find out that Phil got killed, Agent Harris goes, he's in bed with the other FBI agent, seemingly having an affair, frankly, and goes, I'm going to win this thing. That is based off of a true story of an FBI agent whose name I'm going to read to you right now. He wrote a book called We're Going to Win This Thing. And the book was by Charles Brandt and Lynn DeVecchio. So if you're in the mood for a cool book, I have read it. It's awesome. Agent Harris can't totally be in the family. He's not dirty even. I wouldn't even say he's dirty. I would say that he did what probably a lot of law people do sometimes. You have to walk a line a little bit. And at the end of the day, he and Tony had a mutual respect. And he had to choose between the greater of two evils. And I think that, you know, he basically gave up another mob boss to benefit, you know, Tony. And so, yeah, that is the draft for me.
All right. So this also is kind of unfair because you're supplementing all of your picks with all of this really cool trivia. So that I think that's going to lean people towards picking your team when you're throwing all this cool trivia at them too on top of your picks. So I don't really appreciate that. But anyway, I'm just going to have to finish out my team and then I'll pick apart your whole team. So I left my boss for last. I don't know if that is necessarily a bad thing, but you tried to sabotage me by taking all of these bosses and putting them as your captains. So you kind of forced my hand to make me wait a little bit, but I think I've got another boss here on my list who can go toe to toe with Tony. Actually, I'm taking Annalisa Zucca from the Zucca family in Italia, the homeland, the motherland. We don't see much of her, which is probably the only knock, you know, you could really say, but in those brief moments, really just one episode, I think, right? Apart from maybe like a dream being it showing up in a dream or something. Just when Tony and everybody goes over to Italy and meets with them. And Tony is surprised at first, a woman being in charge of this crime family, but you do immediately get the sense of her commanding presence, and she definitely commands that of Tony. She is able to stand toe-to-toe with him. She's not intimidated. She doesn't back down from Tony. She's kind of arranging the way things are going over there and getting what she wants out of this deal. They do work it out, so I think that they have a good relationship, but she's not really to be trifled with, I don't think. I think if we saw more of her, I just get this sense that she is really vicious, and I think that she'll be able to go toe-to-toe with Tony. So getting her as my boss in the last round, I think, is tremendous value.
That's really, damn, that's a good pick. Damn, that, I know that this is a competition. I know that's a competition, but shit, that's, I mean, she is.
Come on, Steve, knock it down.
I'm not going to disrespect her. She scares me. So she is seen actually.
No, you can't. Yeah.
She is seen, I believe, not in the test stream, but in the dream where Puss is the fish in the episode. And I want to say that is Funhouse. So I think that's the season 2 finale. That in that exact dream.
Well, now we're going to fact check you.
I hope I'm right, that I believe that she does appear in that fever dream. And so she is so fascinating. How powerful must and ruthless must she be? So that is a great pick. There's absolutely, I respect the game too much. You know, I guess that makes me Omar for all you Wire fans, but that's just a great, great final pick.
Pick for a Mr. or Mrs. Irrelevant to end a draft, I think. That takes us to the end here. And let's just run through our rosters of the crime families that we assembled, and then we can figure out who has the best one. So, Steve, why don't you just go through your positions and who you've got in all those spots?
Great. Okay. So, number one, and as the boss, was Tony. My first capo regime was Jackie April Sr. My second capo was John Sacramone. My first soldier was Pauly. My second was Vito. Associate was Agent Harris. And my family member was Carmella.
My boss is Annalisa Zucca. My first capo is Silvio Dante. My second capo is Bobby Bacala. My first soldier is Furio. My second soldier is Tony B. My associate is Hesh. And the family member is Meadow. So kind of an interesting spread of characters, mostly big names. And notice no Christopher. I think he was a little too unstable. You were probably thinking maybe along the same lines. He's a little too self-destructive. Trying to think who else we left off. No one took AJ as a family member, but I think we covered a pretty good run of characters here. Is there anyone else you were considering?
No, I mean, so when I was alluding to, I think with my Pauly pick, I was alluding to two veterans. So it was between Pauly or Hesh. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there who says like Ralph could have been picked, or on the team opposite of Tony, or Phil or Chris. Mm-hmm. But I feel like considering how we think about this, I think it's cool for viewers to get a little inside baseball of like the team has to be functioning, right? And like you have to be able to know that these people will work together. And that's why like you couldn't have Tony and Phil on the same team, right? Or
yeah, it's true.
You know, and you couldn't really have Ralph and Pauly together. I don't think you could have Ralph and Silvio together. Obviously, I wouldn't want Ralph anywhere near my dear sweet Meadow. But, you know, I think this was great.
Oh, God, no.
I can't believe you took Meadow. That's just, you know, that's just horrible. That's Michael Corleone.
That might put a bigger strain on our friendship than what happened with Hesh and Tony.
What friendship?
That's the breaking point right there. I'm looking at your team here. One thing I do like is you have Agent Harris. I think having help from law enforcement and not just like having a having a beat cop on your payroll or whatever, right? You got an FBI agent in your corner. That's a pretty cool thing. But you have a lot of guys I'm viewing as who would want to take the top spot from Tony. Like, I think the double-edged sword of you having so many bosses, so many guys who strive for that top role, Jackie, Johnny Sack, especially, at what point are they going to think, I should be the one running this, I would do things differently than Tony? Even Vito, at one point, you know, he showed a really strong desire to be at the top and that maybe he would, you know, not mind stabbing some people in the back to get there. So I think that is the biggest issue for me with the dynamic of your squad.
I think that's a really good point. I guess what I'm hoping for is at a certain level, Jackie and Johnny had great friendship with Tony. And my feeling is that Jackie would be like, you know what? Like, you're my best friend. We robbed Sunshine's card game together. Like, we're going to be good. Johnny Sack and Tony would kill each other, but they would work really well together. You know, maybe that, you know, maybe like it wouldn't be peaceful all the time and there would be moments, but they would push each other to be really good. It would be like a Jordan and Pippen, if you will.
Don't have to all be best friends.
No.
And maybe that's a good thing. Yeah.
No.
I see that.
I guess. Yeah. And maybe Tony's the Michael Jordan, and I don't know, maybe that makes Pauly Coach Burrell or something like that.
It is kind of interesting that you pick Tony to be the boss and Jackie as a captain when at first in the show it was reversed. Did you consider having Jackie as the boss and putting Tony back as the captain?
Well, so once I found out I had the first pick, it just sort of felt like, I don't
know.
You
had to take Tony.
Well, I had to take Tony, and I think it just made the most in that moment. Like, that's an interesting point that I didn't even consider. I think I just really felt like Tony's the best boss the show saw. With the exception of, honestly, here's somebody who maybe is worth thinking about, is Carmine Sr. Because he dies of natural causes. He smells burning grass on a golf course. He's about to get killed by Johnny in one of the all-time great subversions. This was awesome. Do you remember the trailer for this? If you are on a rewatch and you watch the trailer for the end of that season 4, you're thinking they're going to like absolutely like go to war. There's going to be all this violence. And instead they're at a golf course. Carmine looks at his son and Johnny and is like, do you smell that? Do you smell that? It's like burning hair or burning grass. And he drops dead. And thus begins the Tony Johnny conflict. But he did die of natural causes. So I guess in thinking that whole thing through, like, it's also pretty interesting.
That is, yeah. And I guess, yeah, like with Jackie, I guess we didn't see too much of what he actually did as boss. So I guess that was a little tougher. Whereas Tony, you saw his track record and what he did as boss. And the other character who I was thinking about actually as a boss, just because of how much he's able to get in Tony's head, I was thinking about taking Junior, and he'd be dropping the lines about never a varsity athlete, and that really he could, because he can really get under Tony's skin. But at the end, with the actual functionality, Tony does kind of get the better of Junior, and it's like it early on when Junior was the acting boss, but Tony's really the one kind of calling the shots. And Junior's like, oh, yeah, what? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to think of that. But really, you know, he's not as clever as Tony in some of those scenarios. So that's why I wasn't considering Junior in the end.
When he's like, you never had the makings of a varsity athlete. Oh, what a stinger. And I think that's in the pilot when Tony and Junior are meeting and Junior looks at him and he's like, the next time I see you, come heavier, don't come at all. And Tony's like, he's his uncle. He's like,
I love that line.
You come heavy, don't come at all. Like, what a dope line.
I got to remember to say that to somebody at some point.
Next time you see
I don't know how I'll work that in, but I love that line.
Just look at Mike the next time you see him. The next time you see me, you come heavy or you don't come at all. But that's also Jackie being great when he's like, they're sitting outside of Satrial's and he's like, you Sopranos, you know, like, but yeah, Junior, that is great. That would be a great opposite boss. Yeah, that'd have been a good curveball. You had a great draft.
Hey, you did okay too. Like a B minus, maybe a B draft.
I'd be very interested to see who the winner of this would be.
We definitely got to get a poll on this one. Yeah, I'd be very curious to see if you line these up. So with having the most successful crime family, so definitely look out for a poll on Facebook and the Shiphead Nation Facebook group. Hit us up. And well, I guess we'll have to keep putting out more Sopranos content because we've still got more time before Many Saints of Newark comes out. And even after, we're going to still be talking about this show. So, Steve, I'm glad you joined me for this one, as always. And we'll get you on for more Sopranos trivia.
Love to hear it.
All right. Thanks for checking it out, Shipheads. Peace out.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.